Yesterday in the United States Senate, there was a new law proposed that would, according to the people who proposed it, save us a lot of oil in this country. There's been a lot of talk, especially after the post-Katrina panic of $3 plus per gallon gas, about getting us off our dependence on foreign oil, maybe bringing in more use of alternative fuels, maybe conservation, maybe people moving away from large vehicles to smaller, more efficient vehicles and hybrids. In fact, there was a report this summer that said that that was happening and that the companies in Detroit and Tokyo who made our vehicles were actually going to be making fewer SUVs and more small vehicles. Well, I thought we would bring my buddy Joel McCower back on the show today to talk about this, particularly in light of the move on Capitol Hill yesterday. Joel writes and speaks about energy and environmental issues on a regular basis, and I'm happy to have him back here on KMOX. Hi, Joel.
Hello there, Paul.
So what is the implication of this new legislation that was offered up yesterday?
Well, I think it's promising. I mean, the biggest implication is that this is a bill that would actually encourage the reducing the fossil fuel consumption rather than simply on increasing its production. You know, so far, all of the things that have come out of this Congress and this administration have focused on more oil, more oil, more oil. And that's good because we have, you know, some shortages and they're starting to bump up against the limits. But frankly, we don't even have the refineries to process all that oil. But what we really need to do is figure out how to use what we have more efficiently and still drive the cars we want and heat and cool our homes and all that good stuff.
So this legislation includes some tax breaks. I hear as much as 30% or 35%, and also some sort of push to get Detroit moving more in this direction, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it would. One of the things it would do is actually, for the first time, give fuel efficiency standards for trucks. You know, light trucks and SUVs have been sell now half or roughly half of all the cars on the road or new cars every year, and the standards that for cars that the fuel efficiency standards for cars omit a lot of those things. They omit a lot of the light trucks. They don't even count those. And so this is for the first time would have that, and they'd have some things around replacement tires, and they'd, you know, basically encourage us to decrease our oil consumption by 7.5 million barrels a day by 2026. Now that's aiming very, very low. We could do that by the end of the decade, if not sooner, with a few simple things. But hey, you got to start somewhere.
How much oil do we use now? When I hear numbers, you know, $2, $3, $5, $7 million less per day, are we using like 100 million a day?
No, I think we're using 20 million barrels a day. That's about a fourth of the global demand is 85 million barrels, so we're using 20 of that. So we're using about a fourth of all the oil that's used in the world. And two-thirds of what we use in the United States is imported. I don't know if people realize that back in those, when we had those gas lines in 1973-74, only about half of our fuel was imported. And now, after all the good work we've done over the past 30 years, two-thirds of it's imported. So we're not going in the right direction.
No. And as I've said many times on this show, the way to pay less for gas is to use less gas. But that was when people were thinking about that sort of thing, and we were at $3 a gallon. Now, this week, I just paid $1.99 a gallon for gas here. Maybe this is off the public's radar. What do you think?
Well, I think there's something to be said for that. I did a blog post not long ago that cited a Wall Street Journal article, and you know, it said that SUV sales, which dipped in September, October, started to swing back up again in the first week of November, and I said that the further proof that the attention span of American consumers is about 30 days or 30 cents a gallon.
Let me take a quick break. We'll come back with more in just a moment with Joel McCower here on the Paul Harris Show. It's Paul Harris talking with Joel McCower, expert on energy and the environment and clean technologies, about a new bill proposed in the United States Senate yesterday that would offer tax breaks to people who would buy hybrids and try to push Detroit along the way towards making more fuel-efficient cars. Is that what it would take? Because I thought that perhaps it could be consumer-driven. Does the government need to get involved in that, Joel?
Well, I think it could happen any number of ways, but I think certainly the more incentives, the better. You know, oil companies, as you have seen in the news a lot, are incentivized quite a bit to provide more energy. They're given all kinds of tax breaks and royalty breaks to the government for drilling on public lands, and on and on and on. I don't want to get into all that geeky stuff, but the fact is that consumers need some of those same breaks to do things that take us off of oil. And if we could look out for the consumer's interest instead of the oil company's interest, we might sort of get where we need to go. They have, you know, what's really interesting, Paul, is that we have all the technology right now to make cars that get 3 to 5 times the fuel economy. And I'm talking not about little tiny, you know, squeaky deaky cars that one person can ride. I'm talking about cars that, you know, that have great performance, have better safety than the cars now, that really are fun to own and drive. I could send you a link to something called Hypercar that the Rocky Mountain Institute has been promoting, and you can talk, maybe post it on your site. But I think it's just kind of indicative of the fact that we know how to do this stuff, but there's no incentives for us to buy these things.
Do we need an incentive? Are they too expensive? Why aren't we buying them?
Well, that's the thing. You know, these any new technology costs more to begin with until you can be making them in the thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, or millions like we do in Detroit and Japan and Germany with the conventional cars. They're always going to cost more. And so until these things get to scale, that's how we need to, you know, that's what allowed nuclear energy to become a force as it has in this country, because government wanted to see it happen, so they gave lots of incentives and subsidies and tax breaks and things like that. If the government really wants to see this stuff happen, there's lots of ways that they can make the market want this stuff and make it affordable today.
Speaking of oil, we got to pay attention to the oil companies as well, and there's been a lot of talk lately about going after them for windfall profits, taxing those huge profits that ExxonMobil and Dutch Shell and ConocoPhillips and BP Amoco and all the other combo companies have put together this year, particularly during the summer when our gas prices were going sky high with the Katrina panic. And now they've dropped back down, and I'm guessing their fourth quarter won't be as good as their third quarter. What do you think of a windfall profits tax on the oil companies?
Well, you know, I mean, part of me thinks it's a good idea, but part of me says, look, these guys are just doing what they can do legally, and because under the system that we've created that gives them the ability to create prices at whatever they want and take advantage of catastrophes to have record profits, and all the subsidies we're giving them, I mean, they're doing what they're allowed to do. So why all of a sudden tell them they can't do that? I think we really need to change the system. We really need to incentivize oil companies to maybe help conserve oil. Maybe they get paid not on how much oil they sell, but on how far we get on a gallon of gas, or how much energy and work and things comes out of every gallon that they sell. That would change the equation considerably.
What about using alternative fuels?
Well, alternative fuels is great, and that's one of the aspects of this new bill that we're talking about. Encourages creating pumps, alternative pumps at existing gas stations for ethanol and diesel and biodiesel fuels, and I think those are going to be helpful. And the more flexibility we have in our fuels, and the more vehicles, flex fuel vehicles, GM and Ford are both making a lot of vehicles that can operate on any number of different types of fuels, although they don't necessarily advertise that fact. The more choices we have, then the less susceptible we'll be when Katrina knocks out, or the next Katrina knocks out, a bunch of refineries.
You were saying before that light trucks and pickups and SUVs make up about half of the vehicles that are sold in this country. What percentage are alternative fuel vehicles or hybrids or cars that are or vehicles that are specifically made to cut down on the use of crude oil and gasoline?
Oh, I don't think it's 1% yet that's being sold in the marketplace. I mean, for all the Priuses and the cars that Ford has and Honda has out that are hybrids, there's only about 5 or 6 models, although there'll be twice that many in a couple years. It's still a tiny percentage. I mean, we're talking about Ford wants to sell 250,000 of those cars by the end of the decade. Well, that's great, but right now they're only selling just, you know, a few tens of thousands of those things. It's a drop in the bucket.
Do you think we're a long way off from being at a point where the predominant vehicles in this country are that way, getting from 1% to 51%? That sounds almost impossible to me.
Well, part of it has to do with just the turnover. I mean, people don't buy cars every year, and so we have to just, assuming they buy, the average car is, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 or whatever number of years, we kind of have to go through that cycle. But we've seen programs already where the government paid people to junk or trade in their older, more polluting cars, actually gave them more money than it was worth just to get it off the road, because actually a fairly small percentage of cars make up the lion's share of actual air pollution. So that's different than oil consumption, but it's the same. There are a lot of the older gas guzzlers that could be incentivized to take off the road. It really is a matter of political will, Paul. If we want to do this stuff, we can do it much, much faster. If we just sort of want to say, well, let the market decide, it could take years, if not decades.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if this legislation that was just proposed yesterday in the Senate can overcome the hurdles and the lobbyists who will be in the way.
I think that's critical, and we all have to let our legislators know if this is the kind of world we want, where we don't have to worry about oil as much and all the pollution it causes and the global security issues, then people need to tell their elected officials.
Thanks for your time today, Joel, as always.
Always a pleasure, Paul.
Joel McCower, online at readjoel.com. He's a writer, speaker, consultant on environmental strategy and clean technology and green marketing and energy matters, and I go to him when I need an expert, and you get to hear him, too, here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.